Our topic this morning is on spiritual insight. Spiritual insight, and we're going to look at, I entitled this message, I was kind of wondering how I'm going to entitle this message, and so, you know, I'm not, sometimes these great evangelists, they have these fancy titles, and it doesn't have a lot of water after that. But some of them, you know, so I call this, what are you looking at? So, overcoming spiritual blindness. So, what are you looking at? That's my title, Overcoming Spiritual Blindness. Our text is found in Psalm 119, verse 18, King James Version first, so we can look at other versions. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. I want to propose to you this idea, and that is, what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. As an introduction, I want to say that Jesus, speaking to those Jews, you know, his people, said they were spiritually blind. And what did he mean by that? Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see might not see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now, ye say, we see, therefore your sin remains. That's John 9:39-41, King James. Sometimes we become spiritually blind to see the things that the Holy Spirit or God wants us to see. Because we look at natural things to indicate whether or not God's word is true. For instance, if someone is prayed for healing and they begin to check their body or ask someone, please pray that the doctor will give me a good report. You know, it doesn't matter if the doctor gives you a bad report or whatever report it is. God's word is true. Amen. We don't go by what the doctor said, whether or not you're sick. We go by what the word of God says. Amen. So if you're looking at natural things to indicate God's word is true in healing, then you're missing the boat. Amen. I know many of you say, you know, they ask you to pray, you know, so pray that the doctor give me a good report. Well, it don't matter what he says. Praise God. If you're just depending on the doctor's report, then you're on the wrong path in the first place. Can you say amen this morning? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Okay, now, you know, we look to the natural to indicate or to show us whether God's word is true. We say, for instance, you know, I know so-and-so is a good Christian. He died. And, you know, in terms of praying for healing. And so they died. So we look at a person, whether or not if they lived, you know, they got prayed for, they lived a good Christian life and they died early. But that doesn't mean that healing is not for you. You know, it doesn't mean that there's no salvation because someone, you know, died without Jesus. It doesn't mean that there's no baptism in the Holy Spirit if someone doesn't pray in tongues. There is a baptism in the Holy Spirit. There is life after death. There is Jesus the Savior. You can be born again. So, you know, the scriptures tell us very carefully, you know, truly here. So what you see in life is what you're going to get out of life. The Bible instructs us to have a proper perspective on what we see or what God wants us to see, so that we're not blinded by anything in life. Paul's prayer for insight here for the church at Corinth, which he founded, we see that in the beginning of Acts chapter 19, in the book of Acts there. Paul the apostle prayed for the church at Ephesus that they would see the glorious truth of who they were or are in Christ and what belongs to them. He said, In the preceding verses here, chapter 1, Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 20. I'm reading the New Living Translation. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and the love for God's people everywhere, I have not thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope which he has given to those he's called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. God wants us to see all that process of what happened to Jesus and to see the truth of what happened in that process, what was awarded to us because of his crucifixion and what his death meant to us. Jesus took away the keys of the kingdom of darkness and gave it back to the church, and now we have a key. And whatever you allow in your life will be allowed by heaven, because God cannot do anything in your life unless you allow him to do something, unless you give him permission. See, Satan is the god of this world, and he has access to people. And he can maneuver in this world because he's the god of this world. You know, remember that in the beginning, God gave Adam, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, 28, 29, God gave Adam dominion. You know, dominion means to have rulership, to have authority. And in Matthew 28, he says, behold, I have authority. I'm giving you authority. Acts 28, 18, 19, over there. He said, I'm giving you authority. And so he gave back to, when he rose from the dead, he gave man back the authority that they lost. Over in Romans 5 and 17, the Bible says we rule in this life. We're supposed to rule or reign or have dominion in this life, in our life situation, in our bodies, in our minds, in whatever goes on that affecting our life. We have rulership over our own lives. And many times we let situations dominate our own lives. And we ask everyone else to pray for us. They pray for us, but you can't hold on to that because you don't have faith to stay strong after that person leaves your presence. So you have to learn who you are in Christ. Learn that you have dominion. You can't live on other people's prayer forever. And so people, our churches, don't want to hear this. So they're just flocking to places where they can just get everybody else and, you know, pray for them, and they don't have to have any responsibility. And so in this church, I'm asking this church to be responsible and to grow up and to be strong. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, Paul prayed that prayer that, you know, that they would have insight, spiritual insight over here. The psalmist said, we go back to Psalm 119, verse 18, the New English translation. He said, open my eyes so I can see the marvelous things in your law. You see, sometimes people are blinded by what's, they say, I can't read, when I read the Bible, I don't understand. Some people, they read the King James, they don't understand. You know, things are understood spiritually. You know, you can't force spiritual babies to understand anything. They got to be taught. So sometimes people criticize us, maybe we use other versions, because not everybody understands the King James. They don't talk in King James every day. And so we have to take things and help them understand, and sooner or later, the Holy Spirit, you know, they'll get a grip on on understanding the Bible themselves. So that's why you have to continue to study the Word. Psalm 119, verse 18, that's what it says, New Living Translation says this, open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. We need to see the truth of God's word in our lives. Amen. Also, we see Psalm 119, verse 18, that same verse in the Amplified says, open my eyes to spiritual truth so that I may behold the wonderful things in your law. There are wonderful truths in God's law for us to know that will set us free. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I want you to notice, you know, I was talking to Pastor Ken early this morning. He said he got up about 5 or 6 o'clock this morning, and he texted me. And thank God I was already up. I'd be mad at him. he gets up and he bothers me with something about what he's learning. So he sends me, you know, we were talking this morning, so he actually helped me with something. So I want to just share with you. I was studying something, so I think the Lord showed him to share this with me. So I was talking about, so we're talking about, spiritual insight this morning. We're talking about what you see is what you get. Everybody say, what you see is what you get. See, I see the Word of God, and I'm getting what's in the Word of God. So that's what we're talking about this morning. Now, I want you to notice over here in Psalm, let's go to Psalm, let's see where we go here. This is a, look at Psalm 73, and we're going to read various verses in Psalm 73. So, let's go and look at this verse of Scripture here. We can take a good lesson here from the Scriptures, and let's go look at, notice what the psalmist said, what he indicated here, when he was going through a tough season and was blinded by his own thoughts and emotions. How many of you have ever been blinded by your own thoughts, your own emotions? You know, you won't see anything else. You just say, well, you know, I don't care what you say. This is how I feel about it, you know. And that's what happened to those people in the wilderness, right? You know, you look at Numbers 13, they were blinded by what they were looking at. And so many times we get blinded by our own insight. You know, what the Scriptures encourage us not to take what we only see. Remember, I think it's the Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, you know, trust not in your own insight, right? That's what it says in there. Now, Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel. He's good to us, isn't he? Is he good to you?
Yeah.
Okay, so truly God is good to Israel. So that means Israel, we are the Israel of God. We are the Israel of God now. So he says, truly good God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. Well, you can just have a discussion right there. I almost lost my footing. Well, how did he lose his footing? You know, we could lose our footing, like myself and my wife yesterday, going up that mountain and walking in that bush over there. We went there. So he said, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. My wife walked over the cliff. I said, please don't go there. You know, she said, this is where kids jump off. Well, don't jump off there. So he said, for I envied the proud when I saw them prosper, despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have trouble like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat caps have everything their hearts could ever wish for. Verses 12 to 14 here. Look at these wicked people enjoying life of ease while their riches multiply. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. Verse 17, 16 and 17. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. But what difficult task it is. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Verse 21 and 22. Then I realized that my heart was bitter. How many people know you can be blinded in life if you allow your heart to get bitter by different things? Amen. You start getting jealous of people. You start looking at other people. They look like they're having a good time. Their Facebook says all the wonderful things. Right? It says everything in there, you know, they're at the right, they're always on vacation. They always got the right clothes. All their kids are doing well. Right? They got money. They just bought a new car. But you don't know what the payments they have to pay.
Amen.
You know? whatever it is, you know, people, you know, we paint, you know, of course, you know, thank God for nice pictures. Thank God it's not all bad. We want to show good things. But we get jealous or we get intimidated. I notice some people, some of my friends, they never like anything of my things. But they want me to like theirs, though. You got friends like that? Yeah, they always, you know, they never like anything, especially when you're doing good. They never want to like it. You know them because you know what they're like. So don't worry about those people. Here's what's happening to them right in this psalm already over here. See? See, just like you and me. So he said, I tried to understand the wicked, how they prosper. Well, it's a difficult task. And I went to your sanctuary, oh God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. I realized, verse 21, 22, I realized my heart was bitter. I was torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. Ignorant. He was blind. But I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. So this psalm over here is talking about spiritual blindness that comes to us as a result of our heart getting bitter. We can get bitter because we miss out. We think our life is not as good as somebody else, or we should be getting more from God, or get more out of life. You know, hey, I've been serving God. I've been coming to church. I've been tithing. I've been giving money, and nothing's happening to me. And a lot of folks, I've seen people over the years, and I've been pastoring a very short time. I've seen people leave churches because they've been tithing and giving. They're gone. And they seem to think, you know, that this is because they're tithing and giving that their life is going to go good. Now, that's an open door for us to be blessed. You got to, how many people know you just don't just drop something in the bucket? You got to continue to believe. Yeah. And there's an enemy out there to steal everything that you got. Right. If you allow him, he's on the run. He's allowed to come around. And he'll attack you, especially when you get off track and your mind goes loose in some other direction. And he has access to every person's thoughts if you allow him to. So that's why the Bible said that we cast on imaginations or thoughts. Everybody say misguided, blind people. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, New Living Translation, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Corinth, said, some people are blind because Satan has blinded them. You know, we can see here what the Bible is saying, that Satan has the ability to blind people, especially the people who are not born again. He says here, Satan, who is the god of this world, now he's the god of this world, but he's not our God. Jesus, the Father God, is our God. He says that has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't see the things that are in the Word of God. They don't see how can you give money to God or tithe and God will bless you. They don't see that how could you lay hands on someone get healed. They can't see that if you pray in tongues, you're actually talking to God. They can't see that. And they're not supposed to see it because they can't. And don't expect them to. Don't expect people to understand you as a Christian. That's just simply a frustrating venture. Don't expect that. And that's why it's hard for someone who's going to marry someone who's not a Christian or is kind of half a Christian. You know what I'm talking about? They don't really want to follow God. Some people, I get saved, I come marry you, or so on. We've seen that over the years. And get in trouble. And so, we try to tell people, talk to them and say, you know, you want to do this? And so there's a few times I said, I can't marry you because I can't do it. Find somebody else. They get mad at me, but I said, okay, you know. But thank God, his glorious light can shine on people. They said they don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Naturally, people of Christ can't see spiritual truth because they are in the dark, first of all. They are dark. They're walking in darkness. They're looking in the wrong places at the wrong things. Again, Paul, his prayer, as I referred to Ephesians, he said this, that their spiritual eyes be opened. In Ephesians 1:18, the CEB version of the Bible says, I pray the eyes of your heart will have enough light to see the hope of God's call. Now, he is talking to Christians, not unbelievers. He's praying for Christians that they might see what purpose is their existence on earth. Amen. What is their place in the body of Christ? Amen. What are you supposed to do? When you know where you're supposed to go and where you be, no, nothing can stop you from doing what you're supposed to do. Amen. You know, when you're called, I mean, the first thing they dealt with us when they went to Bible school, they told us, You have to know, if you're going to minister, you have to know, number one, whether you're called to the ministry. You got to know if you're called, because the devil's going to attack you and move you. You know, lots of people that I know, pastors that I know, are out of the ministry because of finances. The people don't want to give to their ministry. They're out there, or their kids took them out. I've known people who their kids took them, or their husband took them out. Some, not just them, but somebody else in their lives took them out. So we can be, you know, we can easily be, blinded by different things in life, and God takes you out of the call. And that's what he's saying here. I pray that your eyes be flooded with light. It's not all the bad things that take you out. It's sometimes the good things, like being famous and having glory of men and having money will take you out. Having too much of good stuff will take you right out of the kingdom of God. That's all in the Bible. God says when you're all full and your homes are all with fine things, everybody's doing well, he said, don't forget about me when everything's going good in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Lord God, amen. Now, the Amplified says of Ephesians 1:18, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very, very center, the core of your being may be enlightened, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee and confident expectation to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. God wants us to know so much about your purpose on this world. When you come to Faith City Church, you have a purpose here. You know, thank God that one of the purposes is to hear the word, to hear me preach. God sent me to Thunder Bay. God has my wife and here to stay here, to suffer enough pain and misery to be here. There's so many times I wanted to leave. You know, just like this morning. You know, yeah, there's so many times I want to leave because, for whatever reason, I could find 1,001 reasons why, but the calling is so much stronger than the want to quit. Amen. You know, all of us have had that. I mean, I've seen leaders want to leave here, especially when you know God called you. You know, if you know God called you to preach the word of faith, and God told you to come to Faith City Church, you don't go to Redwood Church. You know, where they don't speak in tongues or whatever. I don't understand how people go to Redwood Church if you're called to a word of faith or a Pentecostal church. I don't understand that. You heard me say it. Amen. I'm not afraid to say that. I don't understand why some people go to these places because sometimes they're afraid. They're not sure what they're called. That's why they want an easier, softer way. There's no softer way, people. There's no softer way. Soon as you go to another church, it'll be harder over there too somewhere. Somebody's going to rub you the wrong way. I wanted to go to Redwood. I'm serious. There's times, I remember when we were growing up, my wife and I were looking for a church, we went to visit Evangel Church. We went to Thunder Bay Christian Fellowship. At that time, Pastor Ken Parker was the pastor. We met with him, we sat with him, he took us out to dinner, and then finally we came to a Word of Faith church. Pastor Kevin Ashby was preaching at a hotel, and the place was not the greatest place to be. There was kids playing on the floor over here, preaching, people singing, and I got into that church, and just something about it says, this is it. But my head gave me trouble because they didn't have everything I wanted to have as far as the church is concerned. But something about the Word of God got a hold of me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? This got a hold of me. Romans 11:29 took me back into where I was supposed to be. The gift and calling of God are without repentance. I knew exactly where I was supposed to be. And God began to confirm that over the years, time and time and time again. And so if I didn't have the revelation God called me to ministry as a pastor, I would have been somewhere else. Maybe I could have been dead by now, not obeying God. But thank God, you and I obeyed God. Amen. Notice what Paul said to the church at Corinth regarding having a clear insight into the things of the Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can give you this. Okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye had seen, no ear had heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And so that's where most people stop. When I was a Pentecostal, for some reason, the elders always repeated that scripture, but never told us about the next scriptures as was coming on. There's other scriptures that precede that verse. He said, oh, you could never know what God has given you. You'll never know what he's going to do. God is so mysterious, he's just going to not let you know anything. Well, why did he give you the Holy Spirit who's going to tell you about everything? Is he a tattletale? He can't keep secrets. No, the Holy Spirit's going to give you insight, right? And so somebody, Brother Hagin, used to tell us, what's the Holy Spirit doing in you? What is he doing in you? Is he a spiritual hitchhiker? No, he's in you for a reason. Amen. Say, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, teach me. Open my eyes and I might see. Okay, and the next verse says, so eye has not seen, nor ear heard the things that, you know. Now notice what he says, but, everybody say but. He said, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. This is called spiritual insight. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. You know, one of the ways you can get to God's secrets, the Bible says when you pray in tongues, God reveals his secrets to you. No one can know a person's thoughts except a person's own spirit. No one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. 1 Corinthians 2, 8 and 12, New Living Translation. So the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we might know what God has given us through Christ Jesus. Everybody says eyes on the wrong things and on the wrong people. Or on people only, right? No. There are times in our lives when we have our eyes on people meeting our needs. Looking at a person, if that person does this, they'll make me happy. If they start to mess, you know, if they just do what they're this right, then I'll be happy. If I find the right man, I better look at a woman. If I find the right man, I'll be okay, right? If I can just have the right husband. Oh, you've been single. This lady's been single for how many years? 40 years? 30 years. That's a long time. Jesus has been your husband all that time. Woo! Now, that's what it says in Scripture. No. So, at times, we look to these people to solve our problems or situations. Like the situation when Peter was able to assist a man to be healed, that people started to get their eyes on them after Peter was able to be used by God. So all of a sudden, then people started looking to Peter because God was using Peter to heal the man. You know, that's what happens a lot of times, you know, because God, you know, did it one way. We got our eye on the same way. He's got to do it the same way every time. I'm laughing at this because I've done the same thing so many times. This is the way, you know, God does it all the time. No, you don't have to do it the same way all the time. Excuse me. So we get frustrated and fearful sometimes because the answer is not coming the way you think it should come to you. So we get blinded by our own frustration and our own resentments and on whatever we're going through. So we should always look to God, you know, in tough times, whether or not we have tough times or not. And sometimes, even in tough times, that's when we really need to see Jesus. We need to see God. Because he's faithful. Notice this scripture here in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded with such huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, you know, this life of faith is not always that easy because it is a faith walk. It's not an emotional walk. Everybody said, it's not an emotional walk. Say, it's not an emotional walk. So, you know, that's what it's talking about. This, it's a life of faith. We don't say, well, I'll go to church if I feel good. Whether I have money this morning. You know, I'll feel better if I get a car. I've had people say to me, pray for me, Pastor. I'll get a car. I promise I'll come to get a car. I'll pick people up. I pray for them. They get a car. They don't show up. Praise God. Maybe it's you. I don't know. So it says in here, let us strip off every weight. So some of you need to start losing weight like Sandra down there. Every weight. You know, he's talking about the weight he's talking about. It's not what Sandra lost. Thank God she lost 83 pounds. No, she never lost 83 pounds. Doesn't she look good? Look at our camera lady back there. Isn't that wonderful? She's doing good. Glory to God. Amen. But, you know, I'm going to try to convince the other sister over there to do some work on her life too. Anyway, forget that. I didn't say that. Now, listen. We have to strip off the weight. What's the weight he's talking about? You know the things we carry in life? We carry a lot of weight, don't we? You know, a lot of cares, a lot of worry, a lot of pain, a lot of resentment, a lot of anger, a lot of self-pity. We carry that around, and we can't follow God where he wants us to go because it's too heavy. You can't run the race with all that's packed on your back. That's what he's talking about here. It's a life of faith. The faith life cannot be ran with a whole bunch of emotional garbage, you know, pack sack on your whole back. Running around. So strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Verse 2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So we will run with God, not blinded by the things that we carry around in our heart. There are things that stop us from following God. Life depends on where you look. It gets better or harder depending on what you're looking at. Acts chapter 3, 1 and 2. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the night hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb who was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I them. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Verse 12. When Peter saw it, because they all got excited about it, so when Peter saw it, he answered and said unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power and holiness we had made this man strong? Peter went on to say the God of Abraham made him strong. The God that they denied, that Jesus they denied and killed, was now risen from the dead, and that this same Jesus, the Prince of Life, made this man strong by putting faith in his name. Sometimes we're blinded by the things that God wants us to have, and that is blinded by the fact that the name of Jesus can do wonders in our lives. Peter said that. So, according to Hebrews 1 and 12, in conflicts of life, and when life gets clouded and we can't see further than our nose, the pains and trials are too tough. We are to look to Jesus. We are to look to the Word, in other words. We are to look to the Word to get us out of the trial that we're in. Not to people. Not to Peter. Not to the pastor or somebody on television. And thank God for the television. You know, but thank God, let's go to the Word of God. And make that your insight. Blinded by negativity. Everybody say blinded by negativity. The story of the Hebrews and the fiery serpents in chapter Numbers 21 is an excellent example of what to look to when facing life, life and death matters. It depends on what you're looking at, as we said. Your mind will depend on what you gaze at. Now let's look at this over here in Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 to 9. I'm reading the New Living Translation. Then the people of Israel set out from Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people grew impatient with the long journey. You know, that's it, right? Sometimes we get so impatient that things are not going the way they should, as quickly as we should. And it's most of the time that it happens. Almost every situation in our lives, we want things to happen right now. How long did it take you to get into that situation in the first place? So they got impatient with the long journey and began to speak against God. Now, it's important that you don't speak negative while you're having your frustrations. You entangle yourself more and more into the trouble when you start speaking about the problem. Okay? So they began to speak against God and Moses. So they spoke against God Almighty, His Word, and they spoke against church, Moses, the leadership, blaming everybody else. Why are you so blind? Why have you brought us out of here, he said, out of Egypt, to die here in the wilderness? They complained. There is nothing here, nothing to eat and nothing to drink. They ate all, and we hate this horrible manna. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes, or the original says, God allowed these snakes to come among the people. He didn't actually send them. Okay? So you have to always understand context. God doesn't send poisonous snakes to people. God doesn't kill people. He doesn't afflict people with sickness and pain. That's the context of the whole Bible. Because people say, oh, see right here. No, this is the New Living. That's why you have to understand, read, and study. Okay? So that's why I'm telling people sometimes, you know, when you read these translations, you have to understand, you have to decipher, learn to. That's why you need to come to Bible school and understand more. Don't confuse yourself. So the Bible says, like in our Bible school, it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can wrongly divide it if you can rightly divide it, right? So the Bible says they said the poisonous snakes among them and many were bitten and died. The people came to Moses and cried out, we have sinned by speaking against the Lord, against you. Now, understand this. Their speaking caused them to have this problem in their lives. You see how important it is that when you're blinded by your own selfish and self-pity, that you start speaking negativity and cause your own, you double up on your problems. That's why I say learn to speak right when everything's going wrong. Learn to have the right confession when you want to say the wrong thing. So they said, we have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against Moses. He said, pray to the Lord, we'll take away these snakes. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord told him, make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. Now, you know, that you see that in the medical field, you see the pole and you see the snake. That represents healing. Because, you know, that pole in there, that snake represents sin and disease, that Jesus became sin and disease for you. Amen. On the cross, on the pole. And he said, when they look at that, see, we have to look to Jesus for our healing. Hallelujah. Our life, amen, for life. So you keep your eyes on Jesus. What do you mean, keep your eyes on Jesus? I don't see him. Where is he? Where is he? The Word of God is Jesus talking to us. The Scriptures are Jesus talking to us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Jesus talking to you. Hallelujah. Amen. The epistles are Jesus talking to you. The Word of God is a word roadmap. These are your spiritual eyes to see what you can't see with your physical eyes. Is that good? I'm glad. I'll be done in a moment. So, now, they were misguided. Where am I? I lost my place. I must, we'll get there. We get there. We're at Numbers chapter 21. Go to Numbers 21. Okay. I got too excited here. Blinded by negativity. Now, okay. So the last part of that scripture says there, all who were bitten will live if they simply look at it. So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed. Numbers 21, 4 to 9. That's a picture of Jesus on the cross becoming sin for you. When God laid, you know, Isaiah 53, that God laid our sin on Jesus and had him beaten for us so that we can have healing for our bodies. That's a representation, a type and shadow of Jesus on the cross. And so they look at him, they were healed. Jesus, or John, the apostle John, mentioned this particular thing there, idea in his gospel concerning the salvation of man. I mean, salvation is included with, you know, healing and health and so forth. And he says in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on the pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. He's talking about himself. Jesus is talking about himself. Taking the scripture, telling them, I'm that person. I'm that's me. Well, if you look at me, I'm the guy. You know, when you were blinded, I don't know about you, but I go through this. I can't see the answer. I cannot see. I'm in such a mess. I'm so deep in it, I can't see anything. I've tried everything. I've asked everybody. I've looked at every book. I've talked, you know, just prayed. And I need to get closer to God in those times. Now, it says that they look at Jesus, they live. Now, King Hezekiah, and Acts, or at least 1 Kings chapter 20, when all he could do was turn his face to the wall, when he was confronted with his own death because he was sick, he looked to God and God alone. He turned his face to the wall. Everybody says, I must say this, sometimes I must turn my face to the wall. So when we're in so desperate need, we have to turn away from everybody else and everything else and turn to God, 100%. Sometimes you'll have to turn your face to the wall, just like Hezekiah. Now let's go and read 2 Kings 20, verse 1 to 6, New Living Translation. About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, went to visit him. He gave the king this message. This is what the Lord says. Set your affairs in order, for you're going to die. You will not recover from this illness. When King Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Now listen to them. If you were at a meeting, let's take Ed. Say Ed goes to the same meetings I go. We go to Copeland's conventions or something like that, or one of the other boys that go to. If Brother Hagin pulled you out of the talk to you, and if he said that Copeland said, "Come on here, Ed, I want to talk to you," stand right here. You're about to die. What would you say? You just get yourself ready. Make yourself all your, you know, insurance money is ready, and all your kids are, you know, everything's all right there, and just buy whatever you need to buy, and get yourself, pay all your bills, whatever. Say your goodbyes, and whatever you have to do. Make your restitution with people, and you're about to die. That's what the prophet told him. That was the word of the Lord to the man. But what if he said, okay? He would have died. Sometimes in our own lives, we see the word of God talking to us and we're in trouble. And we're about to die, so to speak. And this is it. And so we say, and then so we stop there. We stop right there. And we're blinded by the fact that there is more to it than just that. So there is more to it. So we have to, this guy, look what he did. It says in here, let's read a little bit more. He prayed to the Lord. He faced the wall and looked, and he prayed to the Lord. He said, remember, O Lord, how I've always been faithful to you. I have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. Now listen to it. Like, how many people can actually say that? You cannot pray this kind of prayer if you are not serving God the way you should be serving God. Amen. That's why Brother Hagin could pray for his elder, who was the biggest giver in his church. He was the biggest soul winner in his church. The guy that showed up all the time. He was always there. And he was about to die. He was on his last breath. Brother Hagin went to God and said, God, listen, I need him. I need this man. He's the best giver. He brings people to church. He wins more souls than anybody else that I know in my church. And he's always encouraging me. And he brings money to the church. And God says, yeah. God sent him back. The man says that his elder died and went to heaven. Jesus saw, he was about to worship Jesus, fall down on Jesus' feet. Jesus said to him, listen, you cannot come here right now. You got to go back. And he pulled a sheet like this, and he saw Brother Hagin praying. He said, I'm not going to let him die. He said, see, he's not going to let you die. So you have to go back. So he went back to his body, and in the hospital, came out into his body, and he told the church, don't ever feel sorry for anybody who died who is in Christ, because they don't want to come back here. They don't want to come back here. Listen, my mother died. She said to me, when I died and went to heaven, I did not want to come back into that wretched body of mine that had that accident. Because my mother had an accident. She died, went to heaven. I don't know who prayed for her, but she came back. Somebody must have prayed for her. And she talked to God about a minister in her family, and that's me. And the Lord told her that you got to go back. And she just came back in her body. And so I know personally, mentors of mine who've had that experience as well. You know, this is real, people. Heaven is a real place. And we can't even be blinded by what we see over here. So that's why Paul's prayer to the Ephesians say, you know, let the eyes of his understanding be enlightened. So Hezekiah was able to pray. He said, oh, remember, O Lord, how I've been faithful to you, have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. Then he broke down and wept bitterly. But before Isaiah left the middle courtyard, the message came to him from the Lord. Go back to Hezekiah. This message came to him from the Lord. Go back to him, he says. The leader of my people, tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of your ancestors, David, says. I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears. I will heal you. Three days from now, you will get up out of your bed, go to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. And I will rescue you in this city from the king of Syria. And I will defend the city for my own honor for the sake of my servant David. But later on, of course, that city was captured. But not in his time. See, God will do something for you if you will set up and pray. And open your eyes to spiritual blindness and begin to see what glorious things that God wants for you to have. In closing, we need to pray the prayer of commitment again to ask God to open our eyes. Let's all stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I want us to, if we would pull up the Ephesian prayer and pull up our text scripture here. I want us to look at two scriptures, then we're going to pray together to close. Thank you, Father. I want you to look to now, right in your heart right now. Is spiritual blindness hindering you? That's something you need to ask yourself. What is hindering your life that you cannot see the trees from the forest? Ask yourself, what selfishness, what self-pity, what anger, what bitterness is stopping you from seeing what God wants you to see? Sometimes there's jealousy. Sometimes it's just plain, you know, things of the world that's pulling you away. Good things of the world. Psalm 118, verse 18, New Living says, open my eyes. Everybody say this, open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. Now I want you to take about a 30 seconds and pray that by yourself together. I want you to play this nice and loud. Can we get the singers and musicians here if they're around? So that you can start talking to God where you are. Thank you, Lord. Open my eyes. That's what you're praying that. You're asking God. Talk to him. Say that to yourself in your own words in different ways. Lord, thank you that you open our eyes. I want to see. I want to see what you want me to see. Help me to see the truth. Help me to see what I need to see in the Bible. Help me not to be blinded, Lord, by my own insight and what I want. Let your will be done in my life, Lord. Help me not to be captured by my own emotions, my own negativity, my own resentments and bitterness, Father. Help me, Lord, to see that. Lord, God, open my eyes that I might see. Oh, praise you, Lord. Go ahead and pray that prayer. Ask Him. Pray and ask Him. Thank you, Father.